forgot to look over you first. We're okay.
It doesn't make any difference.
We're on.
Could be
turned off. You can do that right there, I believe.
We're going to open the hearing on rules today, the committee. And with that, I do want to make one announcement. I'll probably say this from the... This room is set up differently than every other room that I'm in outside. And so if you have testimony that you want to hand in,
it's over there.
As opposed to over there. And that way you don't have to always give it to Representative Reed.
Although I'm happy, Mr. Chair.
Never complained about it. It's still best to
makes me feel
hand it over to our committee staff instead of to the representative directly. So I appreciate that. And the first order of business, I guess I should open... Do I have to open a... Do you have to move those?
To carry them over.
No.
You don't even have to be in a work session.
We're going to carry over House Bill 3638 and House Bill 3671 to tomorrow, both as public hearings and work sessions. We've still got some amendments. We're working on those. And theoretically, they will be there and ready for us to look at tomorrow. That takes us to opening a public hearing and see if there's people here that want to say anything. Do we have anybody that signed up? Okay. I'll open a public hearing on 3700 just because yesterday I said I was going, or last week I said I would do that. I don't see any witnesses that want to come speak. We did get some information directly, and I want to make sure that people know and that they got their emails that were sent out to everyone on the committee, that those are part of the record for this, from the banks and from some of the credit unions answering the questions that we had posed at the previous day. So, and everybody's got that. So those are now in the record as a public hearing and acceptance of those. So with no testimony, we're going to close the public hearing on 3700. And before I open a work session, I'm going to make sure that we call and get everybody down here if they want to be here. So we'll take a couple-minute break. Nice to talk. So we'll take a short break while we make sure the rest of the group gets here so we can have a discussion on 3700. We're going to reopen the hearing, the Rules Committee, and with that, I'll open a work session on House Bill 3700. Representative Nolan.
Mr. Chair.
Without script.
I move House Bill 3700 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Have we got an amendment?
Or, oh, we haven't moved the amendments yet.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -2 amendments to House Bill 3700.
Representative Nolan moves to adopt the -2 amendments to House Bill 3700. Is there any discussion? Yes. Representative Berger.
Were those amendments discussed in the public hearing, or are they new amendments?
They're new amendments.
I have not received those amendments, Mr. Chair.
I have them here.
They do.
They were emailed out.
They were circulated.
And circulated.
Is there an explanation of what their import is from Mr. Berger?
The -2 amendments incorporate all the technical changes of the -1 amendments, but they remove the final section that was objected to by representatives from the credit unions.
It takes out them having to propose the amendment because they already have the right to do that.
Really?
No. Is there? Yeah. We'll bring up. Our lawyer. Thank you for that. Thank you, and don't forget to explain who you are for the record.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Hal Scoggins, and I'm an attorney with Farley, Wada, and Wendt. We represent the Credit Union Association of Oregon, and the -2 amendments are indeed the same as the -1 amendments, but with that final section removed. After discussions with the Treasurer's Office, they agreed that it really was not something that was necessary as a part of this bill, and so they recommended with us that it be removed.
Yes. Representative
and
Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that final section was what?
That final section, Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, that final section said that if there aren't a specified number of credit union participants by a certain time, and that was a little bit unclear what that time was, that the Treasurer shall propose legislation that would essentially repeal this legislation at the either in next year's session or in the 2012 session. Again, I'm not clear exactly which that was.
Thank you.
And I did have a talk with the Treasurer's Office, and they indicated that they always propose legislation for those deals. They have the right to do that, and they would be considering doing that if the appropriate number of credit unions do not make this. They will be proposing legislation to repeal this legislation in the 2012 session. Yes, Representative.
Sure. Thank you. Yep. So I'm looking at the -2. Can you help me? Is that the section? Is that line 19 deletes line 29 through 35? Because I can't go back and forth between the bill and the amendment quite fast enough. Maybe you know.
No, you. Yes. Well, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, if you are looking at the -2, you're looking at the -2. No, that is still part of the amendments that that would remain intact. The part that has been deleted is what would have been a new section 31 that was in the -1 amendments. It was a completely new section, and that is simply not a part of the -2 amendments.
If you go back and look at the
-1. You got to go look at the -1. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. So as a follow-up, it's not in the -2.
Right.
It's in the -1.
The part that was deleted, correct. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the very end of the -1 amendments, you'll see a portion that's gone.
Yeah, I don't have it. We can't.
I have a copy. If Mr. Chair, I'm happy to provide a copy if necessary.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. I think he's got it now.
We just have to go back.
Yeah, we got to look at two screens.
Right.
Get two running, then we can look at both.
Okay.
What was it? Section 31.
Here's a copy for you as well.
Well, it's just a technology thing. We can't look at both.
I agree.
But we can share, and that works.
Okay.
So we're fine.
Okay. Other questions or concerns about the dash two amendments? Does everybody understand the amendments we're voting on?
Yeah, we got two.
Okay. So.
Motion's on the floor.
Motion's on the floor. Is there any objection to the dash two amendments? Seeing no objections, so ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nolan.
I move that House Bill 3700, as amended, be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nolan moves that House Bill 3700, as amended, be reported out of the committee with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? And I do have some. Okay. Yes. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't feel that it's necessary that I go in great length to repeat my objection to bringing forward in this short three-week session such a major policy shift. And I think it's been duly noted for the record that I have that objection, and I remain feeling very strongly about that, and particularly this bill. I would also say that we had pretty clear testimony that there's a lot of community banks that are in a very fragile situation right now. I think this makes them further at risk in a very difficult economic times. I cannot support this bill on any level and will be voting no. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 3700 represents the kind of bill that most legislators hate to see, because it pits friend versus friend to almost all of us. I believe, as Senator or as Representative Berger has indicated, that the bill is ill-timed. But I will be supporting the bill today, but I wish we'd had more time. Information is still coming in from both sides that is tremendously informative. And I just think it's the process is being rushed, but I will support it today.
Thank you, sir. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I join my two colleagues and the concerns that they have. I think this is a very major shift in policy, and I believe it probably would have been well served to have had more time for it to percolate in the chambers or in the building. Additionally, I think my colleague from Salem has pointed out that we're in a very fragile economic time right now, and the community banks which, interestingly for us, are the banks, I think, that have been most supportive of loans to small businesses. Many of those banks are in extremely tight, on extremely tight margins at this point. I'm not wise enough nor knowledgeable enough to know whether passage or failure of this bill will have any long-term effect on any of those banks, any consequences. I find it very difficult in that regard. By the same token, as the representative from Klamath Falls has indicated, this is the type of bill that I don't like to see. There are a lot of bills that people have come to me after I make a vote on it and say something like thank you, or maybe something less complimentary depending on how I voted. For your vote on that must have been a real hard vote. And many of those bills, the answer is, it wasn't really a very hard vote. You just vote your conscience and what you know. In this case, this admittedly is one of the hardest votes that I will take this time. I will support the move today in committee. I make no guarantees about what I will do on the floor.
Other comments? Any other comments? Seeing none, the only other comment I want to, Representative Greg.
Thank you. I just wanted to add the caveat that Representative Jensen has added, that I reserve the right to change my vote on the floor.
And I do want to, we had a conversation, you did get a fiscal analysis which does show some expenditures in the next 2 years, depending on whether it happens. In both cases, those will be paid back by the credit unions. It's one of the parts of the bill that says those costs have to be shifted back to them as part of their cost. But I think it's important to note, and that's why we did not send this to Ways and Means, because it's other funds and that will be paid back. And there is a notice of no revenue impact. So with that, we'll take a vote. We'll do a roll call vote.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Excuse me.
She's here.
Representative Hannah?
No.
Representative Jensen? Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Aye.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
No.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Motion passes. I will carry this bill.
You bet you will.
I'll credit you in a minute.
He was a board member.
So we're...
I was a board member, that's right.
So I will close the public hearing on 3700, and I will open a public hearing on House Bill... No, it's not House Bill. Which one?
House Resolution.
House Resolution 100. With that, we'll invite up one of the people to testify. We'll have our administrator give a short...
I'll check the witness list.
Okay. After she gets the witness list, a short explanation of this bill. Didn't have your name on the list, so
no,
you
sir.
Can you tell us what it is.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Mann.
1 second, Tom.
Yes, sir.
We get to have a short explanation first.
Yes, sir.
Members of the committee, House Resolution 100 expresses appreciation to the 45th Infantry Brigade Combat Team of the Oregon National Guard and their families, and dedicates Military Family Appreciation Day on May 8th of this year to them.
Sure. Again, my name is Tom Mann with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I am pinch-hitting for the military department, which must have been detained. H.R. 100 is a simple little bill that says that we really appreciate that the work that the 41st did in its year-long tour of Iraq. You may remember that the 41st deployed about a year ago, and they'll be coming back in May, about 3,000 soldiers. It is the largest deployment of the Oregon National Guard since World War II. This unit has also deployed to Afghanistan, so many of those veterans have two combat tours under their belt. Those that have their first deployment will be veterans upon getting off of Title 10 orders and coming back to Oregon. They're going to end up in Fort Lewis, Washington first, and we're very excited as a department because we're going to send veteran service officers to Fort Lewis to meet the troops as they come home, to help them enroll in VA health care, help them with their disability claims, help them with their post 9/11 GI Bill, and so when they get home, they'll be pretty much squared away for the reintegration process. We are working hand in glove with the military department and the reintegration team to make sure that those 3,000 troops that come home have everything they need and get every benefit they have earned from their active duty military service. H.R. 100 is a simple bill that just says that the legislature and the House certainly appreciates the work that they did in Iraq, which was a security job. They were providing security to convoys, which is a very dangerous job. And as you may remember, we did lose a couple soldiers during this tour.
Any questions for this panel member?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr.
Yes, Representative Doherty.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Representative Margaret Doherty in House District 35, which is the base of the 41st Infantry Brigade Combat Team. Indeed, this is the second time that they've been deployed in a very short period of time. It's a very large brigade. It's been in the Tigard area for a very long time. They're not all Tigard residents. They're from all over. But they've done an admirable job. By way of a little background, my father was in the military for 30 years. And even though when I was younger, he was deployed, well, not necessarily always in peacetime, Korean War, but even when he was deployed in peacetime, it was very, very difficult on my mother, who had, you know, two little kids and then three little kids at home while my dad's ship was out for anywhere from 2 to 4, 6 months at a time. And so I particularly want to honor the families and the sacrifices that the families have given up during this deployment, because not being regular military and not being a military city, where there are a lot of opportunities and benefits and support groups for the families, they should also be honored, the spouses of, and the families of the 41st Infantry Brigade. So I just highly encourage you to honor the brigade and hope that this will be their last deployment. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions of Representative? Seeing none, thank you. Did you? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So I'm going to close the public hearing on HR 100, and I'll open a work session on HR 100.
Mr. Chair.
You. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the people who have brought this forward, and the, particularly these folks who have served our country, and by way of honoring them, Mr. Chair, I move HR 100 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Berger moves HR 100 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, is there any opposition to this? Seeing none, I so ordered. And we'll have Representative Doherty carry this on the floor. And, you know, it is one of those things that I think is really important to keep acknowledging, and then after a while, when they get home, to remember that again, because this is something I care with them for a long time, and I think it's nice for all of us to continue to remember that. So with that, we'll close our work session on HR 100, and we're going to open a public hearing on HB 3702. Get a short explanation of the bill, and then I think we have a few people to talk.
Thank you, members of the committee. House Bill 3702 allows Oregon Student Assistance Commission to prioritize grant applicants who are or who plan to be full-time students.
Okay, and I think they got here early. They've talked to me before. We're going to have the Student Association come up first. So, Dennis, is it Dennis Johnson? Denise Johnson.
That's
over there. That's the Student Assistance Commission. I want to go with OSA first, just because they came and talked to me heartfelt. So that's...
Kitato Kasa.
Thank you.
No problem.
And you can do it again for the record, and it makes it really good for me.
Chair Roblin, can you all hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Githaja Kasa. I am the Vice President of the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. I am a member of the Oregon Student Association, and most importantly, I'm a recipient of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak with you today. As soon as the statutory issue regarding the prioritization of full-time students over part-time students in regards to disbursement of the Opportunity Grant rose, the Executive Committee of OSA took a stance to support legislation that would correct the issue. As a result, the Oregon Student Association is in support of House Bill 3702. As a regular practice, the grant has been dispersed to both part-time and full-time students. We believe that this is the way it should be. At a time when Oregonians are facing strapped financial reserves, unemployment is at a record high, college and universities are in higher demand than ever before, it is vital that we support Oregonians pursuing post-secondary education. The Oregon Opportunity Grant has truly given me the ability to continue my education beyond high school. As a student of color who comes from low means, I have overcome many barriers. Like many young Oregonians that are from low socioeconomic status, I've experienced a number of financial barriers in higher education. I'm fortunate the Oregon Opportunity Grant has mitigated this. Without the financial assistance and the Opportunity Grant in particular, I honestly don't know where I would be. Unfortunately, this is not the case with many young Oregonians. I'm saddened by the many stories young Oregonians have come, the stories of young Oregonians who have come to a realization that their state will not invest in their future, both part-time and full-time students alike. I'm a full-time student, but I view my education no more or no less important than a part-time student. All students deserve to be prioritized equally. By making this minor change, the statute governing the disbursement of the Oregon Opportunity Grant, we ensure the current recipients continue receiving the grant and continue their progress towards completing their educational goal. Moreover, making these changes maintains the current program, helping thousands of Oregonians. This change also helps us get back to the actual pressing conversation at hand. The Opportunity Grant is in high demand, overcapacity, and underfunded. Students are facing early application cutoff dates, decreased grant amounts, and difficult choices between books and necessity. With the unprecedented amount of students enrolling and returning to school, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to increase the educational attainment in our state and invest in students who have the ability to give back to our state and to get our state back on track. Let's fix this problem and return to the more important discussion. We need additional funding for the Oregon Opportunity Grant. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to entertain any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Any questions for this panelist? Thank you for being here today.
Thank you again for giving me the opportunity to speak.
And now we'll go to Dennis Johnson from the Student Assistance Commission. And John Wykup, do you want to come up at the same time, or it's up to you? Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. I'm Dennis Johnson with the Student Assistance Commission, and there are just a few brief points to make following on our student testimony. The essence of this bill is to have statute conform to current practice and also to the administrative rules that we put in place a few years ago. You'll recall with Senate Bill 334, we rebuilt the Oregon Opportunity Grant according to a really ambitious eligibility model, and it's been very successful in many ways. One of the things we all overlooked, and I'm talking about legislative council, those of us who implemented, those of us who work with it, those of us who wrote the rules, everyone, we overlooked that there was a small section where the law said the commission shall favor full-time students if funds are insufficient to meet the needs of all. This bill, in essence, changes that word shall to may. Our rules make that clear, and we have been following this practice. Half-time students have been assisted for the last 4 years or so. Half-time, of course, is at least six units of credit, and that means that for most students, that's a load of at least a couple of courses to get assistance at half-time, and we all know that half-time students have needs as great as, or in some cases greater than, full-time students. Many of them are trying to fit in job retraining, credentialing, getting that degree completed into very full lives with work and family responsibilities, that kind of thing. That's a norm for our half-time students who are Oregon Opportunity Grant recipients. So it is a fix that is needed, and it is one that we all overlooked. So I think this is an attempt to acknowledge that, fix it, and go forward. Certainly on behalf of the three sectors. Now I'm speaking for all of them. John Wyckoff could come up here and contradict me, of course, but these representatives from all of the sectors, and that is the community colleges, the 2 4-year sectors, the independent colleges and universities, and the Oregon University System, we all favor this fix. So we urge your adoption of HB 3702, and I'm here to take your questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Personally, I like, if we're going to hear any comments, this is the first hearing. It just came up. It was one of those bills that they didn't notice it till late, so it just got introduced. So I'm going to carry this over for a work session tomorrow, just so that if there's anybody else out there that, you know, wants to get some testimony to us, they can. I just think that's the best way to do it anyway. So. Any other comments? I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3702. Is there anything else to come before our committee? Did anybody have any questions, concerns, or thoughts? Oh, there's one. Oh, that's right. We do have a work session to open. Thank you for reminding me. In the never-ending battle to have new introduced bills, I have another introduction, and don't ask me what it is yet, but I will tell you.
Yeah. A work session.
So I need to open a work session for the introduction of bills.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, I move that LC 240, dated 2-8-2010, be introduced as a committee bill.
Representative Berger moves that LC 240, dated 07-08-2010, be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion? Have we seen the bill?
It has been distributed.
Oh, it has been distributed. Okay, yes. So it should be on our stuff. Again, having or not having, introducing the bill makes no indication as to whether we're for it or against it, or whether it will be returned back to this committee. The only other place it could go, I guess, would be revenue, but...
good luck with that.
Representative.
So again, it's LC 240?
Yes. 240.
Yes.
If we move that out. Yes, no, it's first time. Mm-hmm.
When did that come?
No, I see it.
Should have just come out. Just now? Find it. Hmm.
Yeah, I found it, but I don't find
this
it.
This is really good. You know, you collaborate well.
I found it.
I've got two of them. Two
that
orders.
Is weird. I mean, how come I don't have that?
But they only got 240 and a half. That's 242.
700.
Yeah.
I just entered this and emailed back on the dash 2.
There's 240. Okay, establish a tax credit for transportation of woody biomass from forest management operations. Oh, I was expecting this one.
I'm familiar with this one, Chair Roblin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a pretty good bill.
Whether or not we're for or against it, we're introducing LC 240. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And we'll close our work session for introduction of committee bills.
Yeah, that's
cool. So, any other comments or discussions for the committee? Seeing none, we will close our hearing for Rules Committee today on the 10th. And thank you all for being here.